Third and two, Mays got Stevenson, touchdown. First touchdown pass of the day for Drake May.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.
Joe Davis on the call for Fox the other day. Drake May to Ramondre Stevenson as the Patriots are locked into the two seed in the AFC side of the NFL playoff field. And you can hear each and every single one of those games right here on Westwood One Sports. Chris Mack in for Nick Costos today on You Better You Bet with you wherever you may be in the world. Download that Westwood One Sports app. It's great for taking us with you and then also making sure you're plugged in for the games as well, including Sunday night in Foxborough when the Patriots will be hosting the Los Angeles Chargers. He'll be on the call of that game for Westwood One Sports alongside Tom McCarthy on Sunday night. Pleased to be joined by Derek Rackley. Morning, Derek. How are you? Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, you bet. Good morning. Hopefully you're doing well and excited for a big playoff weekend this weekend.
Yeah, I keep calling it Super Wild Card Weekend, even though I know that's not the given nomenclature anymore. I'm going to keep going with it because I think we got some super matchups to look ahead to, including Patriots, Chargers, and we can get into some of those games in just a moment or so. But I've been making the case this morning here, Derek, that, you know, every 8 to 10 years, we have one of those postseasons in the NFL, whether it's because of how the bracket falls or injuries to starting quarterbacks or just how things play out, where defense actually wins championships, right? The old adage that our dads and our fathers and our grandfathers told us years ago, defense wins championships. And then we get caught up in a playoff field with names like Brady and Manning and, you know, Rivers, or we get caught up in the modern day field, which is, you know, Mahomes and Burrow and Jackson and Allen. And there aren't a lot of those names remaining in this year's playoff field. So just from a 50,000 foot view, as you look at the way these two fields stack up on each side, AFC and NFC, could this be a year where, without a wealth of big name quarterbacks with big game experience, defense could actually win a championship?
I would say could. I don't know if I'm convinced that that's exactly what's going to happen, because as I look at the field, I think about, okay, if you're going to make that comment, who are the legitimate defenses that are in the postseason? I think you'd throw Houston in that conversation. I think you throw Denver in that conversation. I think on a good day, you throw Philadelphia in that conversation because of the talent, the people that they have. But outside of that, and I've seen a good bit of these teams, I'm not sure that, like, there's not a team in here that's like the Ravens from the early 2000s, right? Like, there's right. A team that's just absolutely locked down. So I like where you're going with it. But to me, what you had mentioned is kind of the bigger part of this postseason, is that you don't necessarily have quarterbacks or coaches that are proven themselves in this setting yet, right? I think we're looking at a lot of very budding superstars, whether that's coaching candidates or that's quarterbacks. Obviously, one of them is going to be the quarterback that I'll have on Sunday night in Drake May. A lot of people think that he is already in that upper echelon, and he's a guy with getting MVP attention this year that could be the next guy. But it's different when you get into the postseason, right? The stakes are higher, and everything gets thrown on your shoulders. The thing that we have seen is guys like Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, for the most part, have been able to shoulder that load, not always resulting in a Super Bowl championship, but at least getting to AFC title games. So to me, it's going to be which one of these coaches, a lot of younger coaches getting in the postseason or maybe unproven yet, are able to put together the plan to march them through the postseason and maybe rely on some of these younger, not yet proven quarterbacks that now get themselves into that conversation where they are proven after their performance this year.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. The other interesting part of this dynamic as we talk about defenses who might be able to help their quarterbacks along the way through that relative inexperience and towards a Super Bowl run would be that I want to say the top six teams in takeaways are all in the playoff field this year. And all of those teams, for the most part, are in situations, I guess I would say, you know, at least three or four of them are in situations where the defense has been able to help their quarterback out in managing the game by putting them on short fields. You mentioned the Texans already, obviously. The Jaguars are an interesting team in that regard, I think, because they've taken some of the load off of Trevor Lawrence's shoulders, for instance, and said, yeah, here's a short field. We're going to turn the ball over and give you 30 yards to the end zone, for example. The Bears have made their bones that way because statistically, not a great defense, but they turn you over so often. And they don't ask Caleb Williams then because of their strong running game to make too many plays. Is that something, because during the regular season, I think a lot of people go to, well, yeah, that defense is playing well, but it's all based on turnovers. Is that something that can perpetuate itself through the playoffs deep into January, where defenses can continue to steal games via turnovers?
Yeah, I kind of chuckle in the sense that some people might say, well, oh, it's just all based on turnovers. Right. Well, guess what? That's one of the biggest stat categories in all of football. And I don't care what level that you're playing at, is most coaches are going to tell you that it's turnover margin, it's ability to run the football or stop the run, its ability to have explosive plays or slow down, minimize explosive plays. And then in the NFL, it gets all down to quarterback play, like which quarterback ends up being that much better than everybody else that wills their team to a victory. So how do you play really good defense? Yeah, it's called takeaways. Now, it's also getting after the quarterback, which we know the Denver Broncos over the last couple of years have been the best in that department. Houston, obviously, with their pass rush is extremely stingy as well. But that's how you play great defense. You get after the quarterback and you force them to make quicker decisions, or you shut down the amount of time that they have to process information, and that's when mistakes happen. And then do you have the guys that make them pay for those mistakes, that capitalize on those mistakes? So I would say if we're talking about great defense and, well, yeah, it's all based on turnovers, yeah, there's a reason why those teams are in the postseason. Generally, the ones that are on that higher side of the turnover margin are going to find themselves in the postseason.
There's an interesting dichotomy, too, I think, between one of the teams that's best at causing turnovers, the Texans, who we've mentioned a couple times already, Derek, and they're going against a quarterback at the end of his career who, at least mentally, is still processing at a good speed. Aaron Rodgers might not have the physical wheels he once did. We saw that on display the other night, but he still has the mental capabilities to diagnose pretty quickly. Is that an example of something that you think may be able to neutralize, you know, Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson Jr., and that Texans pass rush, just the ability of Rodgers to diagnose at the line of scrimmage and find out and try to figure out where he wants to go with the ball right at the snap?
Well, I think you could look no further than that Sunday night game, and a couple of the throws that he made in the fourth quarter, I think, is only because of what he has seen throughout his career, his ability to process information, knowing where his matchup is, and then his confidence himself to cut the football loose and take a shot on some of those plays. I was actually talking to somebody yesterday, and I said, oddly enough, the team that's probably the most experience coming into the postseason at the two most important spots is the Pittsburgh Steelers. You think about their head coach and you think about their quarterback, and those two people have probably the most track record experience and success in the postseason that you look and you say, well, could they make a run? I don't know. Like, you could see Aaron Rodgers, you could see this defense, you could see their run game end up becoming really good in the postseason, and they catch a run at the right time. I don't think that they're the best team entering the postseason, but when you have a quarterback that's an elite processor, and Aaron Rodgers still can throw the football extremely well, even at his age, he has proven throughout the course of this season that he's going to take some chances and it's going to work out in his favor. And if he gets a couple of his receivers back too, like, they could be primed for a run. That's the reason why the Steelers went out and got him. They got an experienced quarterback that's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer that has a ton of experience playing in the postseason. And look what happened in week 18. He helped get him into the tournament, if you will. And then anything can happen.
Derek Rackley with us. He's going to be on Westwood One's call of Patriots Chargers Sunday night in Foxborough alongside Tom McCarthy. We'll get to that game in a second, Derek. I want to pivot, though, to the other 4-5 matchup on the NFC side, where Carolina, they've done it to the Rams before, right? But can they do it again? I mean, this Rams team, you talk about experienced head coach, right? Been there, done that. Experienced quarterback, future Hall of Famer in Matt Stafford. Whether Davante Adams is available or not and how available he is obviously is a big part of this. On the other side, we talked earlier about how the Panthers under their defensive coordinator, Ahiro Overa, have been able to step up and make plays at times with a level of talent that maybe you wouldn't think they could. Is there a chance? It's 10-point spread on this thing. Not a lot of people believe in the Panthers. but is there a chance they could shock the world and upset the Rams?
I would say yes, and here's the reason why is I've seen the Panthers a couple of times. So in addition to my work with Westwood One Sports, I also do some work with the Atlanta Falcons. So I'm covering them every single week, and so obviously I got a chance to see two Carolina games this year against the Atlanta Falcons, which oddly enough, and that's kind of part of the reason why the Panthers are in the postseason, is they beat Atlanta in both of those games, one of those being a 30-0 blowout earlier in the season. But the Panthers needed a Falcons victory over the Saints to get themselves into the postseason, one of the more bizarre ways to back your way into the tournament, albeit they're in the tournament, right? But they're definitely going to have to lean on this defense, and they've got the personnel. They got guys that can take the football away. Derek Brown still is a problem up at the defensive tackle position. If he's able to command double teams, get off of those, get into the backfield. And the other thing that I can tell you from my experience with the Falcons is I watched them play the Rams last Monday night, and they beat the Rams. And there was probably not a lot of people thinking the Falcons would beat the Rams. But the reason why Atlanta beat them in that game is they were able to pick off Matthew Stafford three times. That game, Matthew Stafford was coming into that game with 519 passes thrown on the season, and he only had five interceptions. And he ended up throwing three of them against the Atlanta Falcons. So if Carolina can find a way to get to Matthew Stafford, to force him to make a couple of these mistakes, and they can find their way to get the football, that's going to be one of the best ways to beat him. Now, if you let Matthew Stafford stay on schedule and he finds Puka Nacua, and Puka Nacua is doing those things that he's been doing all season. It seems like every time I turn on a television or pull up social media, I'm seeing some miraculous highlight from Puka Nacua in some type of amazing catch that he's making. He's just the guy that just wants it. Like, he wants it more than everybody else does. I don't think you would say that Puka Nacua is the most athletic, the fastest, the most physical, but he might have that it factor more than any other wide receiver in the National Football League. And when he gets rolling along with Stafford, things can get out of hand really quickly. We've seen this offense score a lot of points, and that could be the case again if those guys are not disrupted early.
Let me keep it on the NFC side for just a second. Can San Francisco continue to survive all the injuries, all the absences on the defensive side? Now, this is the Eagles offense we're talking about. Wildly inconsistent at best. So maybe this is just what the Niners need, just what the doctor ordered. But they got to go on the road to Philly.
Yeah, I would say it's going to be a challenge. But if you think about all the things that happened to San Francisco this year, the fact that they were without their starting quarterback for a large portion of the season, how they were able to weather that storm with Mac Jones and all of the other injuries of guys that have been in and out of the lineup, it's been pretty amazing. I think I saw somebody ask Kyle Shanahan the other day about, is like, this the most proud that you've been of a team? And it was just amazing to how he was able to rip off so many other seasons on how things transpired and how he was proud of them. But it was just almost like, yeah, I'm really proud of this team and what they've done, but I've seen this in the past. That's probably the reason why we're seeing a 49ers team that's still in the position that they are, because they have a head coach that's not only been there before, but still considered one of the most innovative play callers that we have in the National Football League. And if they get McCaffrey going, if they get some production from Kittle, and then you're seeing Purdy end up having some of the efficiency that he's had late in the season, even though not necessarily the last couple games, but we've seen him go on some tears where he can absolutely light up defenses. And even though that personnel from Philadelphia is stingy, you just need to get off to a good start or find a run at some point throughout the game, right? Like, maybe Purdy finds a run where he goes 10 for 10 in the second quarter, bleeding into the third quarter, and that's what they need. But they've got the playmakers to do it. And trust me, I'm always in the camp of, when you have one of the best play callers, the Sean McVays, the Kyle Shanahans of the world, you're always going to have a chance.
Who's got the quarterback matchup advantage, you think, in Green Bay, Chicago? I mean, Caleb has done exactly what has been asked of him for the most part this year. And I think Ben Johnson has done a fantastic job of leaning on the run game. Again, people take game managers as a negative, but it's not. Caleb has managed the game fairly well. It feels like Jordan Love may be the quarterback who's the one asked to make a few more plays in this matchup. And I don't know if he's necessarily that much better, in my opinion, that he's the one that can make those plays when called upon against the Bears' opportunistic defense.
Here's what I'll say in that one is that I'm going to give, I would say, okay, play callers, I think you're pretty even in both the play callers, right? I think both Matt LaFleur and Ben Johnson, good play callers. I think supporting cast, probably somewhat similar, although I would say that Josh Jacobs, his fall off the last couple of weeks has been a little bit surprising to me, and I think that hurts Green Bay and what he – I know he's been banged up. He hasn't been 100%, but a lot of people are at this point in the season. But I will also say that I had the Packers a couple of weeks ago against the Ravens, and they got absolutely tore up with injuries in that game. And sometimes it's all about, okay – when does a team have a rash of injuries and when do they get the guys back? And I haven't had a chance to be quite honest in all transparency, look at what Green Bay's injury report and who they're going to have available to them. But they ended up getting hammered by Derrick Henry in that game. And it was a very physical game that they lost a bunch of players to injury. Josh Jacobs didn't play well. Of course, Jordan Love was not in that game. So as far as your initial question, I'm still going to give the edge to Jordan Love just because of the experience and the fact that the last couple of weeks with Chicago, even though they had such a great game on Sunday Night Football, we didn't really see the offense in Caleb Williams. I'm going to give the slight advantage to Jordan Love there.
Before we wrap it up and let you run, Derek, I do have to ask, since you'll be on the call Sunday night, Patriots Chargers, Justin Herbert's playoff track record, not the best. That's probably putting it mildly. But you've got a Harbaugh on the sideline who seemingly always lends a little bit of stability to the proceedings. And even if they get down, even if they turn the ball over a couple times, I would imagine there's still sort of a calm, deep breath on the sideline. And everybody goes, no, we can still do this. On the Patriots sideline, you've got a guy who just continues to prove that he knows how to handle things in Mike Vrabel. And you've got an MVP candidate in second-year quarterback Drake May. As you get ready to really dive into that one, what are your initial impressions on how Patriots Chargers may play out on Sunday night?
Yeah, and by the way, I don't want to slight him because Josh McDaniels needs to be in that conversation as one of the best play callers in the NFL as well. I was talking earlier about Shanahan and McVay, but what Josh McDaniels has done, not only from how he has taken Drake May, and quite frankly, this entire Patriots offense that was not very good a year ago and made them one of the best in the National Football League, and he's doing it both ways. He's got two running backs in the backfield, which I always feel like is a great recipe for success because you're not just putting it all on the quarterback's shoulders. You got Stevenson, you got Henderson that can both give you explosive plays. They can both get into the end zone. So that's obviously a big benefit. But the efficiency and the completion rate of Drake May this year has been absolutely impressive. For a second-year quarterback that had his struggles last year to lead the league in completion rate and be an MVP candidate, and I had a chance to see him a few weeks ago, oddly enough, when they played on Sunday Night Football against the Ravens as well, and I came away with that game and I was like, whoa, this young player is special right here. Yes, he's got Stephon Diggs, but the rest of the guys are not necessarily wide receivers that you would say, oh, well, it's because he's got X, Y, and Z. No, this is Drake May doing it with Josh McDaniels and his offensive line. They're getting healthy. They got Will Campbell back last week. They got help on the defensive line back last week. So even though you're looking at a much more experienced Justin Herbert, this one, to me, early on, just screams the way that New England finished the season. You feel like they're going to come into this game with a lot of confidence, but you got a lot of players that are somewhat green in this type of setting, and so they're going to have to produce. I listened to something from Mike Vrabel, and he said, the season starts now. It doesn't matter what we've done up to this point. It now matters what you do in the postseason. That's going to be on the shoulders of Drake May and the rest of the Patriots to prove what they did in the regular season.
Can't wait to listen to you and Tom McCarthy on the call Sunday night here on Westwood One Sports. Derek Rackley joining us here to preview a super wild card weekend. We appreciate it, Derek. Enjoy.
All right, you got it. Sell it. Super wild card weekend.
So we're selling it the whole way. Super. Yeah, going to look forward to listening to Derek and Tom. My wife went and ordered tickets to a stand-up show for Sunday night. So we'll actually be in the car driving back from that, listening to Tom and Derek call that Patriots Chargers game. I don't know who lets their wife do that. This guy, I guess, apparently. What if my Steelers had played on Sunday night? Could have been an ultimate disaster. Great stuff from Derek there, and more that we can talk about. As I've got spoiler alerts for you, okay? I'm going to jump in the 83 DeLorean during the break. I am going to head to, say, Monday night at midnight. And I'm going to come back and tell you exactly what's going to happen this week. This Week in Hindsight, coming up next, Chris Mack, in for Nick Kostos on You Better You Bet right here on Westwood One Sports.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.